The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Brother Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy. What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Big Dog Wolf Wolf, Travis McElroy. I forgot that part.
A reserved
Yeah, I had
greeting.
To circle back for it and drop it into the dark episode. You can only hear this. If you're hearing this, this is part of the dark web.
Okay. I don't know that that makes any sense, man.
Well, this is because I dropped down here into my lower register.
It's that doesn't put our episode onto the dark web when you whisper.
No, just this part. Just
it's not
this
a
part.
Frequency thing.
Just this part of it.
Not even
cool.
This part.
Well, this is and this is Griffin.
Oh, hi, Griffin. Welcome to the podcast.
All right.
Both wearing buttons on our shirt, I see.
Yeah, I noticed that today, me and you are kind of polo boys.
Not me, Travis. Yeah. For me, you got a regatta.
Travis is
wearing.
I don't
normally do something this muted. I felt a little uncomfortable in
you know,
in something
I, Juice,
muted.
I had the same thought. I caught a glimpse of myself in this polo shirt, and I was like, who the fuck am I kidding? I can't wear this on my Bim Bam.
I feel like we're both doing it. Looks like we trapped Travis in like a. Like we.
It looks like Travis is.
Business casual.
Yeah.
And Travis just ignored it.
It looks like Travis is applying for a job with us at our company, and we're the bosses, but that Travis has not gotten the memo about how
now,
we dress
see,
here.
I noticed that in both of those scenarios, I'm doing it wrong. And what it is you guys are like corporate drones and I'm coming into the office with some kind
that's
of big, heavy thing and I'm smashing it into the big like screen that's
awesome.
Your guys' actions.
All in all, we're just direct supervisors. We're your direct supervisors.
You must respect that.
This is like a Mentos commercial. We've showed up for the job interview. You guys are dressed like kind of like Pet Rocks. And I've shown up, and I'm kind of an interesting kind of guy here. And the boss is like, I want to know that guy. I want him on the creative team.
The job interview Mentos ad always irritates me because there's like 14 Mentos in a roll.
Yeah.
If you have money for Mentos, you don't need the job that bad. You know what I mean?
Is that the one
the rest of us are out here on certs.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're out here on certs. We're having a big jar of Tic Tacs to last us for a week.
Yeah.
You got Mentos money?
That's
is
crazy.
Is that the one, the Mentos job interview where they sit down on a park bench and they get the paint from the recently painted bench and they're like, I know, and they flip over to the other side so it looks like a pattern? Because every time
like
I watch that, even as a child, I watched that, and I was like, that's clearly paint on your suit. Like, if I saw that, I'd be like, oh, you fucked up the whole suit.
Are there any other 100-year-old television commercials that we want to reference or critique in some way?
No.
Where is the beef? I always wondered about
beef.
You guys want to go off?
Have we talked about the you lint liquor before, you cootie queen?
No, that one's a good one. See, there we have
that's and that's some of my favorite ads. Listen, this is an advice show. You can tell that we've been on the road for a long time peddling our comedy wares all across this great nation. That never makes for a bad episode, but it can make for an uneven episode.
Yeah.
That's peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
But average it out, I guarantee you're going to get some primo stuff in this.
Oh,
we're actually recording this intro after the main recording, because we weren't sure we were going to have it in the tank. But let me say, you've got some great stuff ahead.
And you know, out there on the road, sometimes like a moment of clarity strikes you. And like for me on this one, like I was in, you know, kind of a fugue state of travel. And I was like, I think I'm ready to get into Magic the Gathering. Right?
Yeah.
That just like hit me of like, it's time. I'm 40 years old. I'm not getting any younger.
You know
what I mean? And I think it's time, you know?
I'm glad you had that post-nut clarity to
well, that's not what I said.
Get into Magic.
That's not what I said. Don't put that on me.
We had a this was really exciting for me because this is the first time my kids were on this tour, and they're old enough now that they could actually like sit and watch.
Yeah.
So we were pretty excited about Taz because it was going to be an Alice in Wonderland themed thing, and they were like pretty stoked about it. And so we got them like little seats off to the wings. They had to be near Paul, but what can you do?
Yeah.
And the show started with Taz, and we were doing our skit and everything. Yeah. And Cooper said, "So when does it start?" And Sydney said, "Well, this is it." And she said, "But they're just talking." And Sydney said, "Yeah." She said,
"Brutal.
When do they start acting?"
Oh.
And I think she thought some other characters were going to be there or something.
Yeah.
But then she said, "Well, this is boring. I'm going to go eat Skittles." And then she left for the rest of the show to go eat Skittles. And it really helped me to stay grounded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really helped me to stay, to keep it all in perspective.
Was that
a ringing endorsement of our live show for anyone who's never been before?
Yeah.
Maybe just stay home and eat Skittles.
This is also, I will say, this is a kid that I've watched watch a video of someone squeezing out ketchup bottles for an hour.
Yeah.
So like, okay. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know what she's not. It's not a high bar. Certainly. I mean,
no, Justin? She'll
watch families eating orange food.
Justin, yeah, I mean, sure.
Like, it's not.
When we do a live show, right, we have a screen. We've incorporated AV elements. We need to have gameplay footage of someone, like, running across the top of
Subway surfers
whatever,
above us.
Jumping
yes.
above it, while below it, we're doing our boring-ass show just talking
words. Can I
words.
Say, you're... Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in this idea,
It's worth
Clip
experimenting
this chat.
With.
Yeah.
Clip this chat. This is worth experimenting with. This is a bold new idea.
Yeah. I mean, let's just we'll cover the...
Value add.
Yes.
It's a value add. You can't... Nobody can unitask anymore.
We will cover our bases
We're
on the screen above
screen.
Us. On the screen above us, we will put clips of all the stuff our kids are into. Right now, Gus likes watching this 32-minute long video that's just a compilation of different toilets flushing.
Yeah.
He started with Skibidi, but then he was like, you know... There's a story here that's deeper than the scary man coming out of the John. I'm more interested in sort of the mechanics of the toilet itself. Won't use it. Fuck no. No way, dude. Not interested in learning how to use that special chair. But I'll watch videos of him flushing for 32 minutes and 13 seconds. Guaranteed.
You know how They Might Be Giants will do like spin the dial sometimes?
Yes.
They'll turn the radio dial, whatever song starts playing, like maybe it's Tainted Love or whatever, they'll just start riffing on.
Yeah.
We could do that with just kids YouTube, just like whatever's on the screen.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're just art. We're doing art right next to it the whole time.
Dot is into right now children who are in costumes of superheroes, and they're like doing sketches as superheroes, except whoever is making this sketch has done zero research into the powers or characterization of
Perfect.
Those superheroes.
Don't need it.
Absolutely.
And as a parent and nerd, it's so hard to just like, oh, I'm so glad you're enjoying this, and not go, I mean, actually,
Hulk can't fly. You know that Hulk mustn't fly.
If you're not familiar with what's going on with YouTube and kids, what has taken root there is kind of a, I'm going to say anti-entertainment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it almost strives to not be entertaining. And I got to call out one specific subgenre this, because there's like the whole, it's a whole genre of like people who, it seems like their house is more fun than yours.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's just two idiot brothers who seem to have nothing else but each other. There's a lot of those, I think.
Careful, Juice.
But there's a,
Juice, careful. Just saying. This house we're all in right now, the three of us,
really?
Is looking pretty transparent and fragile
away,
right now.
This is all, listen, folks, this is all sour grapes. Obviously,
yes.
I wish this was us. It
but
seems
you know what you
awesome.
Can make with sour grapes? Wine.
Wine, thank you. But the subgenre I hate is I'm put my kids in the strictest school in the world. This is a video that is in like as a subgenre a lot like.
I haven't seen this. One.
Today I challenged my daughter. I'll pick a name, Salish, to stay in this school, and it's the strictest school in the world. If she can make it the whole day, I'm going to give an Apple iPad to her best friend. it's like so they go up to the school, and it's like, here we are at Sternwill Elementary, and the sign on the door says like Pinecrest. It's like, well, you're lying already. And then they meet a bunch of fucking central casting actors.
Cool.
That then have to be mean, but it's pretend. It's like, and I'm watching the videos with my kids, and it's like, kids, you know, I get it if it's like I don't know, dig a hole in our home and then make a bounty hunter try to find us.
Yes.
That's great.
We fill Papa's car with sticky foam.
That happens.
We love this.
Okay? You can look at Papa's face and say, oh, or, you know, I bought 100 homes for people that needed homes. We love that.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
No. Now,
this is a pretend school. And if they're too strict, they get fired. Because it's a scam, kids. You got to tell me you understand that.
That ain't real.
Nope.
It's not real. Your teachers have no power over you. What it's all imagined, and it is all reinforced by the deep state.
There's no such thing as permanent record. There, I said it.
No, it doesn't. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
This is many, many times, and I just have to break my daughter's heart over and over again when I explain to her that video where they, quote, spend the night in a bouncy castle. Do you notice how they were all, like, fully dressed in their regular clothes and, like, all the lights were on and the sun was still out and we really only saw what added up to maybe 15 minutes worth of footage? They didn't spend the night in the bouncy castle, baby.
They would die from exposure.
Yeah, they inflated it in their living room, whatever, pretended to go to sleep, and then they woke up. None of this is real.
Hell yeah, man.
There's a lot of mythologizing among us that's happening.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of, like, we've turned among us into sort of a Brechtian hell nightmare. Yeah. And then I saw that adapted. My kids watched a 30-minute long video. I think Griffin's kids were there, about people playing chess.
Oh, that was
but
kick
it was
ass.
Like a narrative.
I liked
it was
that
a
one
narrative
actually.
Chess
lot.
Video? Yeah, I did. I just wanted to say, do you know where to find that one? Because that was cool.
No, that was cool.
I like that
we gotta
one.
Ask our kids to find that cool chess
hey,
video.
Hey kids, find the one chess video, kids. That one was cool. Let's watch that again. That was good. I just wish our kids watched more of our content.
I don't, man, because BB learned to cuss from watching animatics of our show.
True.
So.
I learned it from watching you, yeah. Dad. This is an advice show. We take your questions. We turn them out to be like into wisdom. That's our charge. That's how we do it.
That's our eternal about. Punishment. That was the deal
that
we
is
made.
Our
Once we've saved 1,000 souls.
Yeah.
I live in a rural desert town, and I sounded like I said real, and I'd like to try it again.
I thought okay. It sounded good, Juice.
I live in a rural desert town, and I do a lot of walking for errands or enjoyment. Do not let the fact that I didn't go back and try it again make you think that I think I did that right.
Yeah.
Okay? On what more than one occasion, my best friend and I have been harassed by local teens from car windows. They usually just shout something unintelligible, but on one occasion, threw a hot dog at me from a moving car.
Oh, man.
One day, unfortunately for me, they witnessed my sandal catching a sidewalk crack as I walked.
Oh,
fuck.
No.
That sucks, man.
Fuck. I fear the humiliation will continue. What ways can I make them stop doing this? The unfun answer would be to involve police.
No.
Involve police. No. Come on.
It's a hot
you real
dog.
Good they know. We've considered thrifting a baby stroller to make us look less like targets.
Won't happen.
But that would possibly deter the next helpful option of finding boyfriends. That's from Demoralized in the Desert.
Here's the throwing a hot dog is beyond the pale. I think we can all agree that throwing a hot dog is unacceptable. It's food waste. If it had toppings on it, that is a whole situation that you have to deal with. The yelling out the car windows, that can be fun. If it's yes. like funny stuff like, hey, cool dog, or where'd you get?
Buy a horse.
Yeah.
Or something. Cool. I mean, here's the thing. Listen, it can haunt you. Obviously, but something that's very ambiguous, like, look at those pants.
Yeah.
And then you're like, was that good?
No.
Was that good pants? Is that bad pants? Now, I'll also say this. Listen, it's never fun to have people yell anything from you out of your car, even compliments, because the whole time you are walking around thinking, no one's thinking about me. And yes. then they yell at you and you're like, oh, I forgot I could be observed by human eyeballs. And yeah, then that's yeah. very upsetting. But I will also say this, in a rural desert town, the options for these kids to have any sort of whimsical, rebellious fun are limited. And if what they've resorted to is simply yeah. yelling things out of car windows, it's potentially the least worst option. Now, the throwing hot dog, that crosses the line, obviously.
Yeah.
But
unacceptable.
The best thing that you can do for your brethren on Earth here is to just become the worst villain. And the funnest to pick on. That's the thing you can do from the best. Like, when you get hit with a hot dog, it's fully like, why I order?
Those ding-dang kids.
I'll get you next time. And it's like you try to get them in some scrapes, yeah, but like they never.
Maybe you haunt the old amusement park to try to scare off, like, so you can get the insurance money, or like you haunt the old sawmill so you can like scare them off to get the insurance money, or you could like haunt the old gold mines so you could scare them off to get the insurance money.
What would be I would do their pranks back to them, haunt but the in old a boring theater. Adult way. So, like, every day at 8:30 a.m., you drive past and fling an entire pack of hot dogs.
Yes.
And then you do, it's every day.
Every
it's
day.
In that, because that's what you can do. You have stability, yes, right? That's what they don't have. You have a budget, you have resources, yeah, to fight back, and you have stability. You can bean them with a hot dog every single day at the same time for a month, and they will have no recourse.
You could rig up, like, a loudspeaker system to your car and a hot dog launcher.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, now we're in an arms race, but what are they going to do? Right.
Yeah.
They don't have the resources you have. Right. You could walk up to them, hand them back the hot dog, and say, I think you need this more than me.
Yes.
Devastating. Now you're in an emotional arms race.
What if you just walked around with a big bucket of water?
That would be off. Those are so heavy.
Yeah, but
you're
going to
need two on a sturdy stick across your shoulder.
Yeah, yes, like on a sturdy stick. And then, like, you see someone coming for you, you just douse them, man. That's their whole day. I hate that. Hey, speaking of people in cars, it reminded me of this the last weekend of Escape to Margaritaville. We were fortunate enough to have quite a few listeners from the shows come out and watch both of our shows this summer. And when I was at the stoplight at 20th Street, remember where the Dragon Shop used to be?
Sure.
Sold appliances and stuff. At this intersection, I pull up behind a car that has the I'm not ashamed of my clown husband bumper sticker.
Oh, great.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to make these people stay. So I honk at them a couple of times.
Juice.
And they remain entirely motionless. And I'm like, oh no. But I've already honked.
You have to explain.
I have to explain. They have to see. So I honk again.
The only option is to pull into the intersection, stop the car, get out of the car. Like you're like,
we're at a stoplight. No one can move. We're at a stoplight. I've now honked twice, and I could see the faces in the car looking at each other like, what do? We're in West Virginia, and this guy is just honking at us. So I have to let her know it's me, right? So I have to climb out of the car window and start yelling, hey! Hey, it's me!
Yeah.
And then, and only then, there was a moment when they were coming out of a car that I saw a lot of panic because they did not know what they were about to do. But once they saw it was their podcast hero,
yeah, it's worth
Justin,
it.
Who just doesn't know how to handle things in the real world, I think that. And later at the show, they were like, hey, you honked at us earlier. That was so funny. And I was like, I'm glad you. That's how you remember it.
Was there a moment, Justin, that it crossed your mind that perhaps this might be like, they borrowed a friend's car and have no fucking idea who you were.
Or bought it used and couldn't get it off because we make our bumper stickers so
maybe
sticky.
Like, this was like a parent who
cross my mind, no.
No?
Did not cross my mind. What are the odds? You got to take chances. You can't let those outliers keep you from a magical moment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Trev?
I'll tell you what I like.
Embarrassment, whatever it ends up
being. I'll tell you what move I like is if you see someone wearing one of our shirts or see a car with a bumper sticker, you just like roll up next to them, and then you're like very casually and cool, like, hey, great bumper sticker. And then you drive off while smoking or vaping. Then it's like, then you don't, neither of you has to talk to a stranger that you don't know, which is
that would have been better.
We do seem cool when we do shit like that, when we're like, no big deal.
Nice shirt.
I do wonder what impression it gives you of Huntington. Like, no, it's not bullshit. I was in Huntington for 10 minutes, and one of the brothers was behind me
screaming. Leapt onto the hood of my car.
Yeah. They're just there, wandering around yelling at people.
Yeah, you too can get harassed by Justin McElroy. Just vigilant Huntington.
Yeah, if he spots you, if you hang out near the hardware store, he's probably going to spot you. He's probably going to try to get you. How about another question? Is that good? Or
yeah, I want it.
How I work as a therapist at a university. For me, having a good office mug is an important part of the job. It's a great prop to help me seem thoughtful and wise during sessions when I really just have no clue what to say and I'm taking a sip of Red Bull. Hey, quick pause. I don't like that. I don't like that the therapist has to drink Red Bull. I don't like that.
But if it was coffee, that would be fine with you, or tea.
That would be fine with me. There's something about needing Red Bull to power through the human experience.
The idea, it's not even that, Juice. For me, the idea of decanting Red Bull bums me out on such a
huge... That's what it is! Yes,
I like the cloaking it. Because if they just... out of the can during it, God, that lets me know whatever
but
I'm saying is
agree,
the boringest
right, that
shit.
I'm not coming up with nothing. This isn't nothing, right? If... The cloaking is an admission that there's something that is going to unsettle you if you're like, so it all started when I, hell yeah, dude.
When I
yeah, man, tell me more.
Hey, man, however long this takes, I'm here for it, babe. Let's go.
When I see someone cracking one of those silver skinny silver bullets and chugging it down, I make a mental note of like, they are going to be fucking silly later. That's a person whose body is going to be just pulsating with guarana and ready to take it to the next level. I need to see that. I need that forewarning of like, okay, when you talk to Terrence later, he's gonna be a wild animal.
I just want to say, if you're listening, Red Bull, and I know you always are, that's a branding issue that you need to work on. Because I see somebody sipping a cup of coffee and I'm like, what a grown up. I see somebody drinking a Red Bull and I'm like, were they up too late, like partying? Like, what's going on? How irresponsible.
But that's their brand, man. That's what they want. That's why they're huge at, that's why they're advertised at Stadium Spirits, man.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Anyway, I didn't even make it through the question. Here we go. My problem is this. My office mug went missing months ago, and I recently realized that my boss has it. How can I get my mug back while staying on my boss's good side? Important info. He keeps it in his office, and the only time I see it is when he's giving an office-wide presentation in the conference room. That's from Meaningful Mugging in Philly. It's not a novelty mug or anything. It's just a good shape, and my favorite shade of green, and I got it secondhand, so I have no clue where it came
You don't
from.
Have to explain yourself. You no, don't I have
don't,
to explain
don't
yourself.
Know where to get it. A replacement is important.
It is important, I guess. But I'm saying, like, of course that's your favorite mug. My favorite mug is a plain yellow, round, little bowl-shaped boy with a white ceramic inside, and I like him the best. He doesn't have any crazy shit on him. Justin's got his I Like Big Butts and Small
right
Government.
Here.
I'm drinking one that says, be nice to me, I have diarrhea. I actually
That's a good one.
Oh, I got two of them from two different fans sent them to my PO box, which that's is cool awesome. For my brand. But I'm saying, of course, that's your favorite mug. You have to get it back. They have already taken everything else from you. The best years of your life, for sure, you can get this mug back.
I'm going to say something controversial. The last line of this is, I got it secondhand, so I have no clue where it came from. What you are not leaving the door open for, the possibility, is that it is their mug.
Oh, that this
That's
is a,
their mug first.
This is a
mug. Like, if you don't know the lineage, it's absolutely possible that it was their mug. They sold it when times were tough.
Yeah.
They see the mug again. Oh, Henry.
Oh, Henry.
It's back.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying more of this was a mug that moves from person to person.
That's what I was thinking.
A
sisterhood.
Needed.
Sisterhood
it's
of the traveling pants.
Mug.
Yeah.
It's a sipping mug.
Yeah. Now, I also want to say that within the context of this, there's I would say, indirect admission from your boss of the quality of this mug, that your boss used the mug and then said, this never leaves my office.
Yeah.
So not to a sink or the kitchen from whence I have to assume it began, that maybe they're bringing wet paper towels to clean it out or something. I don't know.
Do you think this is a sort of office where it's like communal mugs? I've worked at places like that. Because if it's communal mugs, which is the only thing that makes sense to me, because how else did you lose it? Is the boss like sitting? Are they camping the mug?
This is what I'm saying.
Are they like they're not even giving everybody else a shot to get at it?
Yeah.
Frick, that's hard. Because they definitely are aware. Like if you show up with the mug.
Wait, and how long?
One option you have is for this to become your home mug. It cannot.
Once you do exfiltrate, do not bring this back into the
office. You all,
unless
you have a background in light glazing, in which case you can reglaze the mug to a different shape,
indeed.
Possibly. I don't know the ins and outs of that.
I will also say, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be negative here, but you write in the question, it's been missing 4 months. If you go in now and say anything like, that's my mug, your boss is going to be like, no, it's mine. I've been using it for months. You know what I mean? Like, there is a certain, if it was like the next day, right? And you're like, oh, my mug. And you'd be like, oh, sorry, I didn't know. Fine. But months?
Yeah.
Months?
You have to convince your boss that drinking hot beverages is bad for them. That they, ooh. I read an article on readersdigest.com the other day, and it said our bodies are being poisoned every day.
Did you say readersdigest.com?
Readersdigest.com.
I go there every day. Let me take a look. What is, do you not just go to rd.com? Because I just go to rd.com. You type in the whole thing?
This is
I type in the whole thing.
D is for saxophone players.
Right. It's that's what we call ourselves, readers.
I'm a subscriber, so I'll just search the knowledge base real quick.
Okay.
You're a subscriber.
Hot drinks. Do you remember if it was Deborah Fielding or Paul Glaser?
It was Paul Glaser, yeah.
Paul Glaser.
Paul Glaser wrote it, and it said, hot drinks poisoning our bodies and our minds every day.
The best beverage in every state. Six things you can take from your hotel room.
Yeah. Keep going.
Starbucks brand new pairings can save you a lot of money.
I'm sorry. Are you fucking fact check? Sorry. Hold on 1 second, Paul. Are you fact checking me right now about this article's existence?
Yes, I am. You are my employee and you've had a penchant for lying in the past. And honestly, it's gotten you in a lot of hot water.
Well, you know what?
Well,
we're going to get into it right now.
Who the fuck is this?
This is our work therapist.
That's me slamming a Red Bull.
We've asked him to come in and try to mediate the situation.
You two fight it out.
Is that really
what you want?
Go!
$500 an hour.
Look, come on. I'll beat your ass.
Crunch, slam.
You've just shoved a baseball bat in my hand, like a little wheeler bat. What is this for?
I want you guys to solve it. You guys have been dancing around the issue for too long.
Oh, I'm going to stomp this guy's little ass. I'm going to take my cup back where it belongs.
Hell yeah, dude. First blood wins. Go!
Is the Joker the master of HR?
Oh, no. I used the mug to smash it on your head to hurt you for the fight.
Well, I guess that's taught you guys a lesson. I guess my therapy session worked, huh?
Damn. It's like Gift of the Magi, but opposite in every imaginable way.
I think it's more like, who is the one who cut a baby in half? And then everyone's like, no, we shouldn't have cut that baby in half.
Yes, you go to the boss and you King Solomon it. Say, hey, I've got your mug here, and I'm going to smash it. And you say to the boss, like, how do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Because I really don't want to smash it. And the boss is like, I don't care if you, it's like proof positive. The real owner of this mug, i.e. me, would never let it be smashed.
Walk by your boss's office, either pretending to, or if you really want to get this fucking cut back, actually choking and running like, looking for a drink, pick up that cup. Drink it, and then walk out, leave with it in your hand.
Yeah. You could do like a, I'm organizing a cup swap, get to know you thing, where we switch mugs, and that's how, and then you find the person who has your mug, and then you get your mug, but then you do have to quit, because you didn't organize this cup swap thing, and if the boss follows up on it, gonna have a lot of questions.
No. Trev, you're so close, but classic you, like...
Oh.
So close, but wrong. Like, but close.
Are we saying that's classic Travis?
Classic me?
It's classic Travis. Like, so close, but wrong.
Huh.
You listen.
I think I've gotten it right a couple times. I think,
this
I don't
isn't
know
about
that.
You.
I
it's not about you.
I just don't know that if someone was like, sum Travis up in like one kind of idea, they'd be like,
it's not about
you. You almost, for what it's worth, Travis, you almost get it.
Yeah.
He says, you keep missing the mark. Listen.
Yeah, no,
Trav,
I get
you gotta
it.
You got to get the boss a new mug that they have to use or your feelings will be hurt.
Okay.
Like the best possible, world's best boss mug. Do you think they would have to
Travis's
use that, right?
Favorite boss. Like make it
it's
more
personalized.
Yeah, it's so personal. And there's a picture of you two together.
And you get one too.
Yeah. But you don't use yours.
You don't use yours. It's too special.
I think they made a special cut for the Deadpool movie that has Deadpool's like butt on it.
There you go.
And you get that and then just fucking keep it, man, and don't worry about this other shitty cup that you used to have. Now you've got one that's funny because it has Deadpool's ass on it. And it's kind of like cool too. Like it's kind of hot and cool. It's a mug.
Yep. It's a mug, but it's kind of got like a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Bad a little attitude. Bit.
Can you get all the mugs in the office, put them all in a row on the counter, and then when your boss walks in to figure out what's going on, you hit him with a Last Crusade-style cup challenge and say, if you can find the true cup, you get it. But if not, you age a billion years in a second. You die a dusty old man.
Whoa. Or you could have this Deadpool mug right to his butt.
Your choice.
Your choice.
Sometimes I struggle with making fun of Deadpool, but also feeling like it would be really fun to like hang out with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds on like one of the, like, I feel like they probably have a lot of laughs.
Yeah. Those I'm not two. Making like, that. You know that's not what I was doing just then though, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm thinking about
never.
You were like, thinking about, wait, sorry. Griffin was talking about the Deadpool mug where's his butt. And your thought was,
sorry, Travis, his ass.
Thank you. And you thought, Justin, I should make fun of Deadpool in such a way that makes it seem like I wouldn't have a lot of fun hanging out with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together at the same time.
I think I'm thinking about, like, sometimes we rag on Deadpool, and I think it's some of our most inauthentic riffing.
I've never ragged on Deadpool. What are you talking about?
We do, though.
We might make jokes that are adjacent to Deadpool, that are Deadpool related. But I've never been like, that fucking whole franchise can fuck itself.
All right. But it's sardonic. You've been sardonic about Deadpool. I don't know why you guys are pretending like this.
I'm going to have to check the transcripts.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check the transcripts about this.
You'll find how excited I am that, Deadpool exists, that Deadpool breaks the fourth wall all the time, so he technically exists in my universe, and I'm excited Ryan Reynolds is finally enjoying himself making movies. He went through so much with the Wolverine Origins and with Green Lantern, and then he got to make the superhero movie he always dreamed of like 7 times, and I'm really happy for him. Hugh Jackman's back in the suit. He's back with the claws. I'm loving that, bub.
I saw a report.
There's nothing about this I don't love.
I saw a report that the day that Hugh Jackman rolled up to the new Deadpool movie in the old classic Wolverine suit, there were like grown adult people like breaking down in tears.
Griffin, I saw this same report, and it's honestly been in my head since
It's up there with Paul Dano losing his mind while being the Riddler of guys, it's a job. It's pretend work. We do it too. If we busted out like somebody put on a Torsi costume, I don't think the three of us would be like. It's a job.
I'm glad
it's work.
In your
it's make-believe.
Mind, Griffin. What Hugh Jackman has done with the Wolverine characters in, I believe, 10 movies is equal to that time we talked about a horse with no legs or face.
I'm just saying you can't let it is work. It's business. I guess
my heart is open to enthusiastically enjoying things and allowing myself to see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine to some degree. And I'm sorry if that makes me, Griffin, somehow weak.
But I've seen a lot of the reviews of this film, and they're like, I don't know, I feel like Jackman gets lost in the sauce. Like, he's in a reverie the entire time. And a lot of the jokes don't land, and a lot of the line reads are weird.
And he leaves the frame a lot.
He leaves the frame a lot. He falls.
He pretends to sniff something, like a scent, and then he leaves the frame.
And he'll be talking to Deadpool, and he'll be like, yeah, let's fucking cut that dude's dick off. But then he'll be like, and he starts crying, falls down.
Crying makes you weak. Is that it, Griffin? Crying is a weakness?
I mean, yeah. Like, it's okay to do it, but like, yeah. It's
not
weaker
in front
than,
of people.
If you have two Wolverines and you have to pick one of them to be your protector and your guardian through the night, and one of them is crying and one of them is not, I'm going to pick the not crying Wolverine.
I
want to
say,
so
guys, I don't think...
Hold on, sorry, this is an important question. Griffin, is the not crying one visibly holding it in? Like, is the not crying one maybe like...
That's so sexy.
You're camping in the woods. The sentinels are out to get you.
Yeah.
They say, all right, Wolverine, you stay with Youngblood here. And the two Wolverines are like, which one, bub? And one of them's crying. And they're like, all right, Travis, you pick.
I want... Okay,
but
what
is
I
it
have
crying
to say...
For a good, just, I'm sorry, I have more...
So
is it crying...
Though.
For a reason that I can discern, has it maybe been through some stuff that it hasn't been ready to talk about until now?
It's
what's the other Wolverine's emotional state?
Normal.
normal, like angry.
You see, it's just that it's not Hugh Jackman was not the one crying. It was the other people. Hugh Jackman didn't walk up and be like, look at me. Look at me. I'm doing it. The one from the cartoon. It's happening. Look at me. If Hugh Jackman wanted to see himself in that costume, I bet he's got this scratch to help that come together, huh? I bet he didn't need that visual.
Is the one crying seem like he's in the middle of the crying thing, or
they're
near
identical?
The end of it?
They're two.
But
is
the crying thing like, wow, he's really processed a lot and he's almost done?
The other one's sweating so much that you can't tell.
Mm. No, the other like one irrelevant. Looks normal. He looks like normal Wolverine. And it's just
how
the other one's crying a lot.
They're
both sweating.
He has a clone next to him. Is crying. How is that? He's normal. I'm taking the crying one because he shouldn't be normal in that circumstance. He's some kind of alien or something. He's a robot. Because if there's a clone of me next to me weeping, and I'm just like, this doesn't affect me emotionally one way or the other, something's wrong there.
Always got something. Juice, same question.
Which was?
Crying or not crying Wolverine to protect you from the Sentinels.
I want a crying Wolverine. I want somebody who's not pent up. I want somebody who's experiencing the moment live, who's there and present and cares about me. I want those tears to be about what if something happens to Justin.
Yeah.
I want them to be experiencing that so he can keep it from happening.
Trick answer. I'll take Gambit.
Oh, shit. I didn't know Gambit was there.
Yeah.
All right, listen. We got to take a break. We're going to go to the Money Zone. We're going to come back. We're actually going to help somebody.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Stitch Fix. What is it? Scientists are unsure. Some scientists believe that it's a service that you sign up for and you answer questions about yourself and what sizes you like and like what your budget is and what kind of styles you're into. And then they send you those clothes and you try them on and you only pay for what you keep. Now, other scientists think it's a wormhole. And we're not really sure which one it is. I tend to lean towards the first one because that's
well,
the
you don't
copy.
Even understand. You don't know about like string theory and dark particles. And
I mean, there's something about wormholes connecting quantum particles or whatever, and
yes.
Time travel, and I don't know, man.
Okay, you get the basics.
Yeah, but I'm there. But I like to think it's that first one because that's the copy that I have that I can read, and they paid us.
That's crazy. I got the wormhole copy.
Oh, that's so wild. Okay,
I'll do
my
next.
Says that you sign up and you get a stylist who understands you and sends you the stuff and you get like five items in a box. And then you're like, this fits great. This looks great. I'm not wild about this one. And you send that one back and you only pay for what you keep. What's yours about?
Pictures of worms.
Huh. Worms holes?
No, just a bunch of worms.
Oh, okay. So if you want style that makes you feel as good as you look, get started today at stitchfix.com/brother. That's stitchfix.com/brother. Go check it out now.
One of the worms is called Reggie.
Oh, that's cool.
The copy says to mention him specifically. He's the biggest worm. Yeah.
You know, it's never too late to chase your dreams. I think we all remember the film Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, and I've been meaning to make a website about that lately.
Yeah, no, I've only seen the first half, but I've seen it a lot of times thanks to my middle school band teacher. And,
yes,
and class only excellent. Being 45 minutes long.
Right. Yes, my driver's ed teacher showed it to us in part because he looked like Richard Dreyfuss in that. But the important thing is that
was
driver's
it?
Ed class
Richard
is
Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss wants me there. To tell you about, hi, I'm Richard Dreyfuss. Well, I want to tell you about Squarespace, the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and tell everybody that they haven't seen all of Mr. Holland's Opus. You want to engage people with that message. You don't want to let it sit on the ground like a floppy fish. You want to pick it up and shove it in people's face. With web design, you can. And you don't need to be an expert in HTML. They pre-make the templates. They make them look beautiful. All you got to do is put in your text and your soliloquies and your pictures of yourself and Richard Dreyfuss. Whatever you got on your hard drive, you can put it on the web with Squarespace. Not saying you should, but you can probably with Squarespace. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The following pro wrestling contest is scheduled for one fall. Making their way to the ring from the Tights and Fights podcast are the baddest trio of audio, the hair to beware, Danielle Radford.
It really is great hair.
the Brit with a permit to hit, Lindsay Kell.
The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
And the fast-talking, fist-clocking Hal Upland.
See, I can wrestle and be an announcer.
Get ready for tights and fight.
Listen every Saturday or face the pain.
Find us on Maximum Fun. Now ring the bell.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
Old Dickie Dreyfuss stepped in it recently.
Ah, beans. Oh, golly.
Yikes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
Huh? I want to munch.
Squad.
Gamers, alert. I want to munch.
Squad.
Player one, power up. Welcome to the Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast about the latest and greatest in brand eating. And I'm so excited to welcome you guys to the Breakfast in Bed Wars, a Fortnite Whataburger event that is happening right now.
Hey, can I just say that was a lot of words in a combination that my brain could not process?
What sucks, Travis, is mine did. And that makes me sad about my brain
Breakfast
and what I've done to
in
it.
In Bed Wars.
Yes, it is a themed event held within Fortnite, about Whataburger.
No.
All right.
The loser has to buy Whataburger, right? It sounds like the stakes are high as Whataburger unveiled its brand new Whataburger-themed Fortnite Bed Wars map. The new map launched today at 11 a.m., going live alongside the announcement of the Breakfast in Bed Wars, Whataburger's first ever Fortnite tournament.
Are the stakes high? Is that
the
high?
Stakes
How
are
expensive?
Higher than ever, Travis. The stakes are incredibly high. I'm gonna just hold on 1 second.
I mean, have you ever had a honey butter chicken biscuit from Whataburger?
Like, have you had one?
Because they, oh my God, they go so hard.
Yes, but I don't know the exact price of things at Whataburger, but yeah. I can't imagine that they are exorbitant.
Okay, no, I'm gonna show you guys the
better be a picture of a honey butter chicken biscuit, because I would love to look at one of those glistening.
No,
things.
I don't have that. I will talk to you about those in a moment though, but okay, you ready? Can you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a map code. You jump in with the Whataburger challenge.
Cool.
And it is a whole themed map that's just about Whataburger. So what does that mean? I'll give you some specifics. Breakfast in Bed Wars, presented by Whataburger, will take place on a daytime map, focusing on early morning coffee runs and breakfast foods to jumpstart the day. Throughout gameplay, the tournament will feature iconic Whataburger characters and restaurant items such as custom Whataburger beds and restaurant island bases, Whata Guy featured as non-player character, NPC, Whataburger-inspired consumables, including breakfast on a bun for, quote, HP, hot coffee for, quote, shields, spicy ketchup speed boosts, and a honey butter chicken biscuit signifying the high risk, high reward item.
Fucking incredible. Like, stellar. Absolutely. The correct choice.
Whataburger inspired power ups, including iced coffee, taquitos, and breakfast burgers. Whataburger table tent vault keys. Other boosts and buffs earned by engaging with the map, such as walking across a floating Whataburger tray, jumping off a Whataburger breakfast burger, and interacting with iced coffee cups.
Awesome.
Interacting with them, you say?
The person who wrote this not only didn't play this map, didn't experience this, has never played any video game or pretended, is the other thing they've never done.
Now this is rare. No one from Whataburger put a quote in this. And that is, I think it is very aware that they went around the entire office and they were like, would you like to give us a quote about Fortnite? I will be sending it to Justin McElroy personally myself. It will be on his desk by the end of the day. No matter what you say, it's going to tear you down. So does anybody want to weigh in about Fortnite and Whataburger? There's $25,000 on the line, though.
Whoa.
Y'all, this is not a joke. You got to compete in the Whataburger-fueled experience. Four teams of three players will strive to defend their beds while simultaneously launching daring attacks on their opponent's bases, all for a chance to win $25,000 in cash prizes. So this is a Whataburger-themed... I'll give you the map code in case you want to dip in, folks. 661-983-135-969. Get in there, fight the breakfast battles, and...
Can I tell you guys something wild here?
Please.
Yeah. I saw this, and I was like, my first impulse was, the true OG Fortnite gamers are going to hate this. They're going to talk about it's a sellout, blah, blah, blah. So I did some Googling, and I can't find, across several different Reddit pages and social medias, I can't find anybody talking about this at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found maybe a combined two comments.
Well, then
this. You might argue, Travis, that maybe Whataburger is perhaps 7 to 8 years late for this to be a relevant thing that has happened.
Yes,
right?
Perhaps.
Yeah. We are extremely past. The only issue I think with it is that it is so unbelievably far away from the time where this would have made a splash or an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfathomable, right? If Merrill Lynch was like, we set up shop in Fortnite, you'd be like, really? Just now? You guys are just now getting to that. You didn't set up a few years ago? For Whataburger to come in at this point and can be like, can you fucking believe it? Catch up in the game. It's like, yeah. Yeah, hey, yeah, guys. We've had like Mike Tyson fighting the Incredible Hulk. Like, what are you talking? No, I'm not excited about this.
I thought you guys were already in the game, if I'm being honest.
We gave Peter Griffin a lightsaber. We've seen everything that Fortnite has to offer.
I have a video of me playing as John Cena airbending around the map. I don't care about your burgers about and iced else. Coffee.
That said, I would like to dip in on this.
If nobody's talking about it and it's teams of three people, I think we stand a pretty good chance of winning 25 big stacks.
Yeah.
And with that kind of cheddar, we can make ourselves the next Mr. Beast, right? We're spending that $25,000.
That's how he started.
I think so. He won. Back then, it was Minecraft and Wiener Schnitzel. But I think
Wiener Schnitzel gave
combo.
Mr. Beast $25,000 for being so god dang good at Minecraft. No tournament, no competition, just Mr.
Impressed.
Beast playing
no
Minecraft.
Gods.
Wiener Schnitzel saying, great job. Hey, let's continue alienating the older members of our audience by doing a WikiHow article.
Skibbity.
And this one is, I'm going to put the kibosh on a moratorium on referencing tangentially things associated with youth culture like Skibbity or Ohio.
Okay. Those are the only two I got, so don't worry.
Right, and so, but do you maybe think about the fact that you only know two of them is maybe reason why deploying those isn't the strongest
if
play.
Our dad knew two words that we knew, right, and he only said those two words over and over again, you would start to worry that he had
right, and not only that, never used them in the correct context, just said right. the words out loud.
I mean, to be funny, to be fair, they're funny words. Like, Skibbity's just fun to say.
No, but it's
yeah, but huh. It's that interesting.
This isn't the WikiHow article. Can we please get off my nuts and move on?
Griffin hasn't read the title yet. It could be about how to get on your brother's nuts.
How to establish a little vacation home on your brother's nuts and never leave.
So Nix sent this in. Thank you, Nix. It's a WikiHow article called "The Ultimate Collection of Funny, Cheesy, and Romantic Riz Lines." That's okay to say because it's like in the article and we're using it. If I was just like Riz Ohio, do you know what I mean?
Rizzo the rat.
Rizzo the rat is looking for a Riz line that will sweep your crush off their feet. Riz, short for charisma, is a slang term that means you come off as attractive and suave and have no problem picking up the people you like. Riz is not just about looks. Fucking helps, though.
Yeah.
It's also about confidence in your ability to banter. You got to have strong bants. There's so many freaking pickup lines in here, guys. Almost 90. And I'm going to read every single one of them. No, I'm only going to read the ones that are completely next level, off their rocker.
Are you just going to read all of them to us, or can we take turns?
I think we could take turns. I don't know that Justin has the article pulled up.
No, I do not.
Okay, well, then here's what we'll do, Justin. Griffin and I will each pick a line, and you tell us which one you think would land better.
That's cool. We're not doing these to you, though. That's important.
Okay.
You are witnessing these pickup lines. You are not on the receiving end of them. You okay?
Yes.
I thought I hurt your heart by saying that we weren't going to say pickup lines to you.
Okay.
No, I think I strained my muscles.
I've got my first one here, Justin, that I want to attempt.
Okay. Let's do them. Maybe let's go category by category. So, pick your favorite smooth Riz line.
I did.
And I'll do my favorite smooth Riz line, because there's a lot of categories.
Okay, and I'll kind
of
judge which is the most Rizzy.
Here we go, Justin. My parents told me to chase my dreams. I guess that means you better start running.
That one's...
Griffin, let me hear one from you.
No, I'm not 14, but I'm the one for you.
Okay, so we have two entries here that both have massive problems. I will talk Travis first, because you were brave enough to kind of step out front. Mm-hmm. We actually don't love anything about chasing, physically. Cool.
Yeah, chasing, running, better run.
I said it out loud. Running. It's incredibly threatening.
You're a stranger to them.
Yeah.
Okay, Griffin, yours was so good in the second half.
Yeah.
But in the first half, it's really weird that you said you weren't 14. It's just, as an opener, it's a really, really bad one.
Also, if you were 14, now you're lying to the person, which is a terrible way to start out.
And what if they're a police person? You don't know. Now you've lied to a police person.
Does that mean that you aren't 14 yet, or you're way older than 14?
Both of these are bad.
Okay.
Okay, both of you lost 1 point, so you have -1 each.
Okay. I'll start this next one with a funny Riz line.
Uh-huh.
And I'll hit you with this. Are you the school stairs? Because you take my breath away.
Okay.
I have serious health and breathing problems.
So you saw the problem in your own that time. That's growth.
No. I'm saying a fact, which is that I have stairs breathing problems.
Right. I gotcha.
And you know that about me. And that's why the pickup line works.
Okay. Here's mine, Justin. Hey, I'm Microsoft. Can I crash at your place tonight?
Okay. So the one thing that you've told this person is that you're a dork.
Yeah.
You don't want them to know that. You're trying to Riz them. These are both not good, because I think you're a dork, and I think you're an asthmatic dork. I think you're both dorks. The best, and I don't want to kiss you.
The Microsoft line, the best you're going to get. The best response you're going to get is, oh, okay.
It's also incredibly, it's incredible. I don't like a pickup line where the ask is, can I spend the night at, hey, here's a joke. Can I spend the night at your house? Hi, nice to meet you. Here's a sexy joke. Can I spend the night at your house?
Sleep.
Yeah, hey, were you
I need a place
tonight?
To stay. I didn't plan this out when I got in town tonight. Can I crash at your place?
You gotta remember, folks, the mind is incredible, but not everything in the mind is located together, right? There are distances. If you ask me to go to the place of my brain that does puns, it is really, 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 really far away from the part of my brain that has to respond to a stranger asking me if they can stay at my house. So that's the part that I am over-addressing.
Yes.
My brain has to deal with that first. I can't even go back to your pun. I'm really focused on the fact that, okay, now I have to navigate this incredibly perilous social situation you've created.
So mine won?
Yes. You're at 0.
How about it, Travis? You got a cheesy Riz line?
Oh, I'm so worried, Griffin, that this is the same one you picked.
Of course it will be.
Okay. Are you a vape pen? Because I'd never use you.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it would be such a gigantic play. You are assuming a huge level of not just vape abstinence, but like vocal evangelical vape abstinence when you roll up with this line.
This says a lot. And it says, I would love to, my parents are fighting a lot. Can I sleep at your house tonight? And also, I don't vape, and I expect you not to either. Do not support me.
I don't vape, and I don't like people that do.
Mm-hmm. Man, there's not really a good backup option. Of course, that was the one I would have gone with. There's, are you Lego? Because I'd never Lego of you. There's got to be a way to pronounce that word in a way that makes it sort of make a little bit more sense.
This one, is your name Elsa because I'll never let you go?
That's not what she says.
The entire one, she does. And two, it's it, right? So that's more of saying like, are you Elsa? Because if we ever had a fight, I want you to know I'd never let it go. I will hold on to that shit forever. But even then, Elsa let it go.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Let me hit you with a flirty Riz line.
Okay.
Are you public speaking? Because you make me really nervous. So that one is cool because asking if someone's public speaking, the noun.
Public speaking? My brain has like, I'm next door. Like, what does that mean? I'm rifling through boxes. What could that mean?
Saying that someone makes you really nervous could also mean that this person is doing something dangerous for themselves or perhaps you.
I do also think that this person has missed sort of a fundamental step of in my day, we called them pickup lines, you see, kids. But now you call them Riz lines. It's a different world out there. But I think the thing this person has missed is that some part of it should be complimentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of these are like, hey, girl, are you beef? Because you're really ground up and cooked for meat. It's like, well, none of that was like a positive thing. You didn't really.
Yeah.
There's not a nice thing you're saying.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to say.
You make me nervous.
I also like that there's a category on here of flirty Riz lines, which at which point, what have the rest of them been? But this is the one I've chosen. You better tie your shoe. I don't want you falling for anybody else.
That's cool. That's like cool. Because some people like that. Some people when you're like,
you belong to me.
You belong to me.
I don't want you. And also, you should tie your shoe.
This
though.
One's a I mixed mean, bag, isn't it? Because the first part is great. You should keep your shoe tied.
Hey, babe. Hey, pretty lady. You should tie your shoe because I don't want you to trip and like hit your head on like the counter or fall down the stairs or something like that. Because then
here, I'm gonna try to sell this one. Now it only works if their shoes are actually untied, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
If their shoes are tied, you just sound stupid.
Yeah.
But if their shoes are actually untied and you're like, hey, you should tie your shoes. And then they're like, thank you. Like, wouldn't want you falling for anybody else. And then you're like, oh, just kidding.
Stupid.
Stupid.
I'm Microsoft. Do you mind if I crash your place tonight?
I untied your shoes when you weren't looking.
Stupid.
I untied them. I didn't tell you.
There's a really good romantic Riz line here.
I did share the image with you, Justin, in Slack, so you could see the image they've chosen. To just go with the romantic Riz lines image.
Standing in front of a giant flame.
Just two people watching the world burn down like around them.
Scene from Scavenger's Reign.
Yeah.
Can I hit this one, Trav?
Yeah, go for it.
Melt their heart with a captivating Riz line. How about this one? I must be a time traveler, as I can't imagine my future without you. It doesn't make any fucking sense, dog! What are you talking about? Are you a time traveler? Because I can't imagine my future without you?
I must be the ozone layer. That's something, right?
Do you have a name or can I call you mine? Now,
what? That one's like,
that's romantic, actually.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Do you have a name or can I call you mine? Establishes a binary option in which they'd be like, no, I have a name. And you're like, oh, shit. So I guess I can't call you mine. And they're like, nope.
Do they do that? I didn't see Call Me By Your Name, but do they do that in the movie where they're like, what's up, Jeremy? And then the other guy's like, hey, Tony.
This would be like if Call Me By Your Name was because he had recently been cloned or created in a laboratory. And he's like, I don't even have a name. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'll just call you by my name. You're also Tom.
Steamy.
That is what the film is about.
Get steamy, Riz Lines. These might be a little too hot for TV. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to go first, Travis?
This one, are you a sea lion? Because I want to see you lying in my bed.
Wow, that one actually, if you delivered it with like full confidence, yeah. Like if you came 100% exact, and like, folks, I'm talking like close up magic levels of repetition. You have to say this line over it, not a single syllable can be out of place.
Yeah. This one's huge. Are you Ronaldo? Because I think we should get messy. This one's awesome. Because the first part is like, if someone walks up to you and is like, are you Ronaldo? You'll be like, what? What is this person saying? And then they hit you with a, because I'd like to get messy with you. That's strong. That you don't usually reference sort of the mess that you make in the lovemaking process, in the sort of sales pitch for the lovemaking.
Now, another interesting headline here for this section, creative Riz lines, which once again, what have the rest been?
Yeah. These have all been kind of a stretch.
It's okay. It's time to pay up because you've been living in my head rent free.
Travis, I can't believe that's the one you picked from this category. It's one of the
weakest
ones.
I left that one for you. I left that one for
you. Let me hit you with, are you China? Because I'm China, get with you.
See, Griffin, I thought you were going to do, are you John Cena? Because I've never seen a girl like you before.
That's good, but are you China? Because I'm China, get with you. It's fucking
it's like
so
not how
powerful.
Anybody talks. No one has ever said it like that before.
And the arc of this is so perfect, because if someone hits you with a, are you China? You're like, I don't know what the next thing is going to be, but it's going to be fucking bad, dude. But then they hit you with a, because I'm China, get with you. That's fucking great, man.
Ooh, I don't know. It's a dicey one. I don't know. I'm not sure I'd attempt it for real.
All the clever Riz lines are bad, but I want to go down to cute Riz lines.
Yeah, let's just hop it.
Are your parents bakers? Because you're a cutie pie.
None of the good ones are going to be good. When I was a kid, I used to have to chase butterflies. Now you're over here bringing them right to me. You're like Brenda Fricker in Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
I used to chase birds, but now they are always on you.
They flock to me.
They flock to me.
Something about them being in your stomach. Now there's butterflies in my stomach every time you're around. Like,
yeah, but that's what it's saying. Like, you give me butterflies.
No, it's like, saying you bring them over here. You've got a cloud of butterflies following you like Pigpen has dirt.
You're too specific. It's not one of the greats. I'll great you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Poetic. Poetic Riz.
The poetic ones are all good.
If you died, I'd be jealous of the earth because she'd get to hold you forever.
You could not get out of the room fast enough. There is not a hoverboard in the world that would get you out of that room, out of that building, out of that zip code quick enough if someone said that to you in real life.
If I had a rose for every time I thought of you, I'd only have one because you never left my mind.
That's not very many roses.
Yeah, what is that even trying to get? If I had a nickel for every time that I thought of you, I would have the singular nickel.
But it would be really big. It would be a big nickel.
It's like, imagine, you know, in the Batcave, there's the giant penny, but like that for nickels. Okay?
You stole my heart, my eyes, and my thoughts. All that's left is my last name.
Stole my eyes?
Steal my last name?
No, hold on. Stole my heart. Okay, cool. That's a phrase. You stole my eyes. Am I the mummy from The Mummy who steals that guy's eyes?
Hear me now, soothsayer. You've taken everything from me, but not this.
The sequel to Call Me By Your Name is Steal My Last Name, and it's them trying to get their names back from the way that the witch cursed them to switch names forever until they learn a valuable lesson
according
about being themselves.
This right here is a classic Riz line. If you were a Transformer, you'd be Optimus Fine.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's a classic?
That's bad. Optimus Fine? It's like, it doesn't even rhyme.
No.
Sucks. Pick a better one, but do a better one for Transformers, Trev.
Oh, okay. Go
ahead.
Are you?
Go ahead, Trev. Just anyone.
Okay, hold on.
Hey,
are you into Autobotic asphyxiation?
Oh my God, Trav.
Maybe not that one.
No, you got it. You perfectly got it.
You got it one, baby.
They'll cut out the 8.5 minutes of you thinking.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
They'll cut out the call you had with your lawyer.
Yeah.
You can I say this? Loud. Is this cool?
Am I going That's to prison all
for this one? Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We so appreciate this time that we get to spend with you, and we think that you're just the best.
The bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
We got some exciting announcements for you. Well, when the new month starts, when August starts, there's going to be new merch over on the merch store, including a Trav Nation pin designed by Riley Woolworth, and a Munch Squad sticker designed by Tyler Reed. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to the World Central Kitchen. Also, this week, on August 1st through the 4th, me, Griffin, and Dad are going to be at Gen Con. We're doing a Q&A at the Suffering Game book launch event and a bunch of other stuff. So make sure you check that out. You can send questions, by the way, for that Q&A to social@themacroy.family and put Gen Con in the subject line. And you can find all of our other stuff at macroy.family. And if you go to bit.ly/macroytours, you'll see all the tickets for our shows in Portland, Oregon, Orlando, Atlanta, Denver, Phoenix, Indianapolis, and Milwaukee, and all kinds of other information. Go check that out now.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a great tune that you're going to be vibing to all the live long day as you work at your job. Also, we have a graphic novel out that you can go get now because it's out. It's the 6th one in the Adventure Zone graphic novel series. It's The Suffering Game. It is exquisite. It's exquisite book, and you're going to be moved by it.
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. Please get it. Help us get it.
You're going to love it.
We've got a wish here that I think we should elevate for Fungalore.
If you guys go right ahead.
I wish immortality was real so that Columbo could be on TV forever.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Why did I go second?
I don't know.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother May. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.